The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord. To my lips and my
heart. Jesus said to his apostles, "Behold, I am sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be as shrewd as serpents and as simple as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be led before governors and kings for my sake, as a witness before them and the pagans. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. You will be given at that moment what you are to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will hand over brother to death, the father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But whoever endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to another. Amen, I say to you, you will not finish the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout this week, there's been an interplay between the first reading taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, Hosea from the 8th century BC, and then the Gospel, which has fundamentally been concerned with Jesus sending out the apostles and the instructions that he has given them. And the two are highly connected for our living the faith. The first reading, especially in this year of mercy, we see Hosea's great call to conversion and how we had Hosea the prophet in flesh that calling. Early in this book, he told Hosea to marry a prostitute who would then be unfaithful to him, as a sign of the way God himself has chosen us, even though we've cavorted with other gods, even though we've been unfaithful to him. He, as we heard earlier this week, has espoused himself to us forever, and not just taken us with all our dirt and left us that way. But when the bridegroom himself, Jesus, eventually came, as St. Paul wrote in the 5th chapter of his letter to the Ephesians, that bridegroom took us as his bride, and he cleansed us by water and the word, so that we might be holy and immaculate, without blemish in his sight. One of the most important things for us to grasp in this year of mercy is that the Lord's plan of mercy is not just to remit debts. The Lord's plan of mercy is not just to look beyond sins, or even just to forgive us and make us happy and send us on our way. The Lord, in this year of mercy, wants us to grasp that his mercy is spousal, and that he's united himself to us in a bond of love. See, he says to us today with Hosea, "Freely, I have freely loved her." The Lord has freely bound himself to us in love, and it's through receiving his spousal love and responding to it that he cleanses us, and that he transforms us from within, so that we're not just cleansed and brought back to where we were, but we're transformed by that union to be something we never were, because we're now capable of recognizing how much more he loves us, and that while we were still sinners, while we were still, we could say, out there on the streets, while we were still unfaithful to him, he chose us. And that's when he came, and that's when he proposed, and he continually wants to strengthen us to affirm our love for him in response to his love for us, which is always merciful. Once we grasp this mystery, that this is all of reality in God's plan, we can't keep it to ourselves. And that's why throughout this 14th week, we go from Hosea to Jesus' instructions, to the apostles, and as we heard on Sunday, through St. Luke's authorship, to the 72, meaning the 12 apostles and the 60, everybody else consecrated who would come, lay people who would come, etc. The Lord was sending us outward, sending us out first with a message. The kingdom of God is at hand because the king is at hand. Sending us out with packaging, as I like to call it, so that we would be able to proclaim that message by who we were. We can't proclaim God's providence if we're carrying extra money bags, as if God's not going to provide tomorrow, or second sets of sandals, or changes of clothes, or everything else. We can't proclaim it otherwise. We can't really proclaim it alone, because we need constantly to be forgiving others, to show that God's mercy can transform us so that we can forgive others, the little things of every day as well as some of the big stuff. He sends us out, telling us to wish peace on people. The fundamental mission of the church is to wish Christ peace, which is why it's so important, especially at Mass, that even if we're not going to physically extend peace to each other, we really mean it. And that we take a pause to extend that. That's not distracting us from the Eucharist. That's a necessary condition for us. If we're going to receive His peace, we've got to recognize He doesn't just give it to us to stay here. He gives it to us so that we can become, in Him, peacemakers to each other. He tells us not to be constantly looking for a better convent, or better house, whatever house you enter, wish peace there. If a peaceful person lives there, stay there. Don't be looking for a better deal. Don't be looking for an upgrade. Be grateful for what you have rather than constantly acquisitive for what you don't have. When you experience rejection, he tells us, show my mercy, but also show the joy of the gospel. Wipe the rejection like dust off the soles of your sandals, so that you're not taking that injury to the next town, which will obviously affect the way that you preach the gospel. And then today he continues, and there are some shocking words, and we've got to confront them straight up. He tells us today, behold, I am sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. He died on Calvary to protect us from the devil and all the rapacious demons just trying to devour our souls. So why would he who loves us ever send us out among wolves? It would be like a father sending his pure little daughter into a prison. It would be like a parent sending a child, it seems, into a child molester's convention. It would be like sending a Christian straight into the heart of an ISIS planning meeting. Why? And this is key for us to grasp everything that happened before and everything that happened after today and tomorrow. Jesus gives us a hint here, but we got to go even deeper than the hint. He says, all of this will occur to you, handed over to court, scourged in synagogues, led before governors and kings for my sake, as a witness before them and the pagan. This will lead to your giving testimony. They'll be able to hear you differently in this context than they ever would in another context. Why's that? And here's what ties it all together. Because when the Lord sends us out, He doesn't just send us out to preach a certain message. When the Lord sends us out, He doesn't send us out just to do some good deeds that confirm that message. The Lord sends us out to impersonate Him. Literally in His person. He enters into communion with us so that we can do the apostolate in tandem with His working right through us. And so, shockingly, the Good Shepherd sends us out as sheep among wolves, precisely so that, one, we can enter into a deeper impersonation in Him. We can enter more deeply into communion with Him. And then second, He, through that communion, will be able to do for our contemporaries through us what He did on Calvary, what He did before the Roman centurion who said, "Truly, this is the Son of God," what He continues to do through all time when we recognize just how valuable we are every time we look at a crucifix. That the Lord Himself has forgiven us and so transformed us that He has made us His ambassadors, not extrinsically, but intrinsically. And that's why He can say, when they hand you over, when they betray you, and He tells later who will betray us, brothers will betray us, parents will betray us, children will betray us, basically everybody will betray us. Every class of people will betray us. Because they won't accept Him and won't accept us together with Him. And so, in essence, they're betraying Him in us. Just like His contemporaries did, just like the Nazarenes did. But when that happens, when we are betrayed, He says, don't worry how you are to speak or what you are to say. For you'll be given at that moment what you are to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That it's precisely in that context, entering into the person of Christ, that the Holy Spirit whom the Father and the Son sends will be able to use us as His loudspeaker. Through our flesh, through our lips, through our fidelity, through our charity, through our mercy to those who are doing this to us. In all of these ways. And so Jesus continues to send us out. He doesn't promise an easy path. He says that we will be opposed, not just not accepted, but some will actively oppose us. But He tells us, don't be afraid. For He will be with us in those moments. And it is in those moments where we will have the greatest communion with the Lord. It's those moments where our life will bear the most fruit of all. If we're really about discipleship so that we can have a comfy life in this world and forever, Jesus ain't going to give it. If we're in this because we recognize in His mercy He calls us to be saints, and sends us out to bring others to Him, but not everybody's necessarily going to accept it, but it's even through our own Good Fridays that resurrection for us and others will come. Then we're capable of doing this, and He strengthens us from within, so that we'll be able eventually to say exactly what St. Paul did with all the lengthy sufferings he wrote for us in 2 Corinthians. We'll be able to say, as he wrote to the Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer even I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gives Himself up for me." Today, Jesus mercifully calls us to Him. He draws us freely with His bands of love, in order to unite ourselves to Him in a spousal consummation here on the altar when we become one flesh with the Bridegroom. And that together with that Holy Communion, He sends us out as His mystical body, literally in His person, to continue His saving mission. Yes, we will have Good Fridays. but we know what happens 40 hours later.